Amen. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for these guys? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin there. I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 3. My bad. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin here tonight with a familiar verse. And then we're going to rehearse just a little bit of last week. And then I want to move into what we need to say tonight. Thank God for his word. Amen. Amen. Paul, this was the last book that Paul ever wrote. He's speaking to his son Timothy, who is a pastor, his spiritual son. And he says in these words in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's very clear that without the word of God, we will not be thoroughly furnished. Now, you know as well as I do that as we address the word of God and as we feed from the word of God, there's going to be times of inspiration, and that's fine and good. There's going to be times of encouragement. That's fine and good. But there's also need of instruction. Once again, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction that we may be furnished unto all good works. And so this is a little bit different, I'm sure, than most Wednesday nights. But, you know, the Lord just kind of impressed upon my heart that I wanted to talk about the issue of sin. And last week, we opened up a subject and talked about the difference between a mistake and a sin. And we said this to you, that a mistake is simply happens because of distraction. All of a sudden, you're distracted and you turn onto a one-way street. That was a mistake. Something that happens as a mistake, you know, you go ahead and you pour salt into your coffee thinking that it's sugar. Once again, that was a mistake. Or maybe cutting your 2x4 a little bit too short. But sin, biblical sin, is a willful, deliberate violation of a biblical boundary. I'm going to say that again. Biblical sin is a willful or deliberate violation of a biblical boundary. A word that is closely associated to this is the word transgression. Transgression is deliberately stepping over a boundary. You've transgressed, you've overstepped your bounds, if you will. And then we said this to you, and we talked a little bit about all these things, and we talked about the fact that there's three things that we need to convey to the people that are endeavoring to restore us, that we understand the difference between a mistake and a sin. And we said this to you, that in order to convey to the restorers of our lives that we understand that there's a difference, first of all, number one, we need to choose our words carefully. In other words, we said this to you, if God calls it evil, then we are to call it evil. If God calls it a work of the flesh, then we are not to call it a birth trait. If God calls it a sin, then we are not to call it a mistake. We are to call it as it is, if you will. Number two, we talked about the fact that if we're going to display to the restorers of our life, you know, the Bible says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. If that's going to happen, then we need to display certain characteristics. Not only should we choose our words carefully, but number two, we should also take responsibility for our behavior. Instead of trying to cover it up like David did, or trying to justify themselves like Adam and Eve, we just go ahead and take responsibility for it. In other words, we own the issue that we stepped over the bound. We own that. We talked a little bit about that. In fact, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth it and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So it's very clear that we are to own, we are to take on, we are to, if you will, take responsibility. Number three, the third thing, and I didn't really get to talk a little bit about this, and I really don't have the time to get into this like I need to, but we are to exhibit traits that are consistent with repentance. Matthew chapter 3 in verse 8 talks about producing the fruits that is keeping with repentance. In other words, we are to produce traits, we are to produce behavior that would help convince those around us that we've made a change, that we've taken responsibility, that we take ownership, and that we're going to change. We're repenting, if you will. And we said this to you, that the first, in my opinion, fruit of repentance after we have been confronted with our sin is to, if you will, to step into the Word of God and begin to renew our minds with the Word. Because you know as well as I do, every boundary that we have stepped over was stepped over because we mentally convinced ourselves that it was okay to do. There is a responsibility that we have to get back in the Word of God and find out what mental processes had I embraced that goes against the Word of God that allowed me to do what I did. And I wish we could talk a little bit more about that. There's just some things about that that's in my heart, but for the time being, we'll have to pass on that. Number two, of course, after we've renewed our minds with the Word of God, spent a little time of learning, then we are to change our conduct, of course. And that change of conduct should be in direct relationship to the renewed mind. And so, moving that direction. But with all that said, this came to me, and I want to go this direction tonight. I believe that tonight will be a significant night for a lot of us in this room. I think the things that are going to be talked about are going to impact us not only in our own personal lives, but also how we help others. To a great degree, the quality of life that we enjoy today will depend upon our understanding of sin. I'm going to say that again. To a great degree, the quality of our life depends upon our understanding of sin. I know that goes against a lot of things that have been said over the years, but nevertheless, there are two types of sin that we as believers need to be made aware of. Number one, go with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter 3. And as you're turning to 1 John chapter 3, once again, the quality of our life depends upon our understanding of these things. 1 John chapter 3. The first type of sin is a sin that is most generally thought of when we talk about the word sin or transgression. It is the sin of commission. It is the sin of commission. The sin of commission is simply found in 1 John chapter 3 in verse... Well, I tell you what, let's just read verse 1 and we'll go on down through the verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Verse 4, for whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin, underline it, is the transgression of the law. The first type of sin that I would like to bring to your attention is the sin of commission. It is simply things willingly done that you know that you should not do. It is the things that are willingly done that you know you should not do. The sin of commission is always the result of a decision, a choice. It is willingly stepping over a boundary. You're not forced into the sin of commission, and you do not step into that arena by accident. You willingly decide. And to be honest with you about it, the quality of our life deteriorates when the sin of commission is present within our lives. it will become significantly deteriorated. I find it very interesting that when most people think of sin, once again, they think of the sins of commission. Go with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 5. You understand this as well as I do, that when the sins of commission are present within a person's life, once again, it's going to deteriorate their quality of life. It will probably also deteriorate their relationship with their spouse, with their family. But it also, in many ways, shapes, and forms, becomes publicly detestable. All of a sudden, public even kind of, you know, looks at it poorly. And a lot of times, sins of commission will eventually harm others. When we talk about sins of commission, you know, if you're going to provide a list, if you will, in no way, shape, or form am I endeavoring to produce that, but just to help you to see that these things are stepped into deliberately, is Galatians 5 and verse 19, the works of the flesh. Here again, when involvement in any of these things deteriorates one's life and the quality of their life. Now, the works of the flesh, verse 19, are manifest, which are these. In other words, when flesh is in control, these things will occur. Adultery, fornication, I'm not going to define each one of these, but uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And now, I had you underline this the other night. I'm going to have you underline it again. And such like. Because I want you to notice this little three-word phrase, and such like, implies that this is but a short list of the works that the flesh will produce when it's in control. This is not an all-inclusive list at all. Your flesh can produce a lot of things that will deteriorate your life. These are just a short list of things. And I want you to notice here, as you read through these verses, and you go on into chapter 6, and I want you to notice here in verse 7, Paul continues on with these things. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, he says very, very strongly, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh," in other words, you just allow flesh to go ahead and run its course and do what it wants to do, "shall of the flesh reap corruption. This thought came to me: nothing good can come from prolonged exposure to sin. Nothing good can come of it. Prolonged exposure to sin, these sins of commission, doing what you know you shouldn't do, will injure you. It will deteriorate your quality of your life. It will, if you will, lessen it. You'll be of a poorer quality than what God intended for you to experience in this life. When you think about a life that is of a poorer quality, a life, if you will, that is less than what God intended for it to be, I think of Mark 7. I want you to go with me, if you will, Mark chapter 7. Y'all doing okay tonight? Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I think of this verse when we start talking about, you know, causing our life, becoming involved in things that diminish our quality, lessen it, affect it. I think of Mark 7, verse 20, 21 and 22 and 23. Listen to what it says here. "And he said unto them, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth," underline it, "defileth the man." Now, the word defile is a very interesting word. It means this. It means to pollute. It means to render something unclean. The word defile. Jesus said, these are not the words of Mark. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, there's things that you and I can become involved with that will pollute us, that will cause us to be less of a person than what God intended for us to be. In other words, it will render us unclean. When I think of the word pollute, I think of the Arkansas River. You know as well as I do that if you've lived here anywhere, you know, any time at all, you know that the Arkansas River is a polluted river. What I mean by that is this, is that mankind has allowed ingredients into that river that has caused that river, that has rendered that river to be less of a river than what God intended for it to be. Well, what kind of river did God intend for the Arkansas River to be? The kind of river that you could just take your hands, you know, and dip a big old cool handful of water and drink it without any fear at all. The kind of river that you could catch all the fish that you want out of the Arkansas River and go ahead and fry them up and not be concerned about mercury poisoning and zinc poisoning. Kind of river that you could swim in without any fear of being, you know, skin problems. But you and I know that there are ingredients within the Arkansas River that has polluted that river, that has caused that river to be less of a river than what God intended for it to be. Jesus said there are things that you and I can become involved in that will pollute us, that will diminish the quality of our life. And listen to what he says here. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth, that pollutes the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. They pollute us. What you think on can pollute you. It can cause you to be of a poorer quality. It can lessen the quality of your life. We've not understood that as well as we should. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all of these underline it, evil things. How many of you know you call it what it is? The world's trying to convince us that these things are acceptable things. We mentioned last time we were with you that the world, you know, the things that used to be detestable are now acceptable. Well, not in God. God's never changed his mind. It doesn't matter how many people accept it. It doesn't matter how many people think that it's okay. In his mind, it's things that will pollute you. May not send you to hell, but it sure will lessen the quality of life that you enjoy upon this earth and almost make your life feel like it is hell. Thank you for those two or three amens. When there is sin in our life, we are less of a person than what God intended for us to be. We are of a poorer quality. But the quality of our life is not solely dependent upon the removal of just sins of commission. The quality of our life is also dependent upon including the eradication of the sins of omission. There are two types of sin. Go with me, if you will, to James chapter 4. There are two types of sin that's in the world today. Sins of commission, you're doing what you know you shouldn't do. Willfully stepping into boundary, over boundaries that the Lord has put for our benefit, so that we can enjoy our life to the fullest. We spoke a little bit about the boundaries that he has given to us from the Word of God. They are for our safety, for our good. Our quality of life is always, always in better and improved within the boundaries than outside of the boundaries. It's like a child stepping over the boundary of the sidewalk, you know, because into the street, no, that boundary is placed there for our good. James chapter 4, talking about the sins of omission. James 4, verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. James puts it this way. He said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Not doing what you know you should do will affect the quality of our life. It will diminish the quality of our life. I'm going to say that again. The sin of omission is different than the sin of commission. The sin of commission is doing what you know you shouldn't do. The sin of omission is not doing what you know you should do. All right, don't like that? Someone said this. Omission is the sin of knowledge without practice. The sin of knowledge without practice. When we fail to act on what we know, When we fail to utilize what we have, the quality of our life is lessened. I was back in the room and I heard these words. I never had thought about this before. Do you see here when Paul admonished Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. Do not neglect the gift. That was an admonition to help him and encourage him to step aside from sins of omission. You're not utilizing what you possess. You're not making full use of it. Therefore, thank you. That not only is your life affected by that, but them that hear thee, their lives are also affected by that. That you also save yourself and them that hear thee. Sins of omission can not only affect the quality of your life, but it can also affect the quality of your church's life, your family's life. Oh, you know you should. You've got, you know you have the gift, but you're just not utilizing it to the fullest. You're not acting upon it as you should. Well, what it does is it affects the quality of our life. I think of James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be ye hearers of the word and not just, but be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving your own self. Evidently, it's possible. Here again, that speaks of the sin of omission. It'll self-deceive you. You think you're okay, you're going to church, and you know what the preacher's saying. Man, yeah, I know that. Say amen every once in a while to what the preacher's saying. But if there's no application, if there's no practicing, if there's no of the knowledge that you possess, your life is still not going to exhibit the quality that's available to you as a... Do you understand what I'm saying? The man who built his house upon the sand is also a good example of an individual with the sins of omission. He built his house exactly, if you will, put forth as much effort as the man who built his house upon the rock. And he also was a self-deceived individual, thinking that he'd done everything that he needed to do by hearing the word. But notice here, that individual didn't do the word, and during the storms, his house fell. A lot of individuals, boy, I tell you what, as long as things are going okay, you know, they think they're doing all right. But when the storms of life come, the sins of omission are quickly identified. Are you listening to me? Areas where we simply have not applied the word of God to our lives like we know we should. We're talking about the quality of life that's available to us. Is available to us as we put aside, if you will, stepping over boundaries and as we begin to apply the word of God that we have within our lives. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But before I do, I wanted to share one more example. In my opinion, of the sin of omission, there's a lot of them in the Bible. But for me, the prodigal son's brother is a great example of the sin of omission. He got mad when the prodigal son came home and the father forgave him, threw him a party, and all of a sudden he goes in the barn, starts pouting. Father's finding him in the barn, said, "What are you doing in the barn? Well, you never throw me a party." He said, "Son, you've always been with me. All that I have is yours." In other words, what he's simply saying is, you can have a party anytime you want to have a party. You have not, can I put it this way? This scripture came to me today. You have not because you what? So if you have the ability to ask and you're not asking, then that's a sin of omission that's going to affect the quality of your life. Are you listening to me? His life was of a poorer quality because he simply didn't step into the full privileges of a son. He didn't operate in those privileges. He didn't ask. Now, with all that in mind, let me say this. Once we understand the sin of omission, it clarifies for me the frustration that clean living Christians have as to why their quality of life is found wanting. A lot of individuals look at look at people that have stepped over the boundaries in certain areas. I said, you know, I've never stepped over any boundaries. I've lived a clean life. Man, because I've never gotten involved in all those things over there in Galatians chapter 5. How come my life isn't any better than what it is today? You know, by now I thought my life would have been a lot better. I thought my marriage would have been a lot better. You know, I've lived a clean life within my marriage. I've never stepped over into porn. I've never gotten into adultery. I've never gotten into, you know, and how come my marriage is just simply... It may be because you have knowledge that you're not using. It's maybe because you have truths within you that you're simply not implementing, that can cause your life to be of a poor quality. This phrase came to me a couple of days ago. It's impossible to be a fully functioning and blessed Christian if the sin of omission is present. Say that again. It's impossible to be a fully functioning and blessed Christian if the sin of omission is present. Yeah, but Brother Doug, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I bet you are. I bet the majority of us in this room are good people. There might be some rascals in here, but the majority of us are probably some pretty good people. You know? But the thing about it is, our life may not be fully embracing the blessings of God simply because we may know to speak to our mountains and we're not speaking to our mountains. We know how to believe that we receive when we pray, but we're not believing that we receive when we pray. Because we know that we can speak in tongues when we know not how to pray for as we ought, but we're not speaking in tongues when we don't know how to pray for as we ought. You know that God has the wisdom that we need, but we don't ask him for the wisdom that he needs. You know you're not supposed to be worrying about anything, but neither are you praying about what you're worrying about. Are you listening to me? A lot of individuals, once again, are not living up to their full potential simply because maybe we're just not applying the Word of God in the areas. Come on, guys. And it's causing the quality of our life to be diminished. Can I put it to you like this? If we desire the quality of Christian life that is available to us, we must put off the sins of commission and we must put off the sins of omission. Now, you know as well as I do, go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5. My. Time goes by fast when you got something to say. Ephesians chapter 4. How many of you know when you ain't got nothing to say, time goes by real fast when you're standing up here? Look at that clock. Oh, man, time's going by so slow. Are y'all out there? Ephesians chapter 4. I want to begin with verse 17. No, if we desire a quality of life, we must put off the sins of commission. Those areas where we know is wrong, that we've been stepping over these boundaries. Chapter 4 and verse 17, this I say therefore and testify of the Lord that we henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings gave themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. Verse 21, if so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you, underline it, put off. What are we talking about? Sins of commission. Things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we're doing it anyway. Concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, here we go, guys, put away this sin of commission, lying. In other words, go ahead and embrace speaking the truth to every man and with his neighbor. For we are members. Put off anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy. So it's very clear here that there are some things that we are to put off. But there are some people that put off all these things. I don't do those kind of things. Well, then go with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Well, then if you're one of those individuals, thank you, I know. If you're one of those individuals that have put off all of these things and you're a clean living person, then you've got more time then to be thinking about what he has asked you to do, what he has asked you to put on. Listen to what it says here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall also appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked in times past when you lived in them. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all of these things: wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds. Verse 10, and have, underline it, put on. Everybody say put off. Put on. Everybody say, put off, put on. Put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, and whatever that little word is, bond or free, but Christ is in a. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy. Be kind. Put on humbleness of mind. Meekness, longs, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, and above all these things, put on charity. It's very clear that we are to be so concerned, and we are to be as much concerned about what we are not doing. Come on, guys. As we're concerned about what we should not be doing. I'll say that again. As believers, we have a responsibility to pay attention to what we are not doing as much as we're paying attention to what we should not do. What are we not doing? What do we know? What have we been taught? Am I applying those principles to my life? I found this to be true, that the quality of most marriages is not being affected by the sins of commission as they are as much as being affected by the sins of omission. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says these words. It says, talking to the women, Peter says these words: likewise, your wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word. Isn't it interesting? My. Y'all doing okay tonight? Isn't it interesting that he's not talking about what to do when you found that your husband is, you know, checking out other, going other places, getting involved with other women? Isn't it interesting that he wrote to the church and he wrote to the wives within the church that if you have a husband that's in the sin of omission, I want to talk to you about how to because it appears to me probably within the church the sin of omission probably a lot more threatening to most marriages than the sin of commission. Husbands that know how to love their wives and just simply aren't doing it. Wives that simply know how to respect their husbands but just simply are not doing it. Husbands that know how to provide companionship to their wives but simply are not doing it. Husbands that know that they're supposed to leave their parents and cleave to their wife, not doing it. If any obey not the word. Are y'all out there? That kind of gives me the impression they know what the word says. But they're simply not. What is that sin of omission? Quality of our life is being affected by it. Dumb devil. Dumb devil, dumb devil, dumb devil. Dumb, stupid little devil. Ruining my marriage. Now, it could be sins of commission that you're responsible for. Should be areas that you need to be applying into your own personal life. Don't believe. Here again, are we taking responsibility for our own actions? Are we trying to, well, it's the devil that's in the world. He's the one messing up my marriage. Here again, are we taking responsibility? Now, I'm going to say this, and I guess there's lots we could say, but we'll probably have to close. I believe personally that 1 John 1:9 works for both types of sin. That if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because I've learned that yes, when I get into sins of commission, I have deliberately stepped over a boundary that I know is wrong. How many of you know I need to run to my Heavenly Father and ask for forgiveness? But how many of you know we who are mature, if you haven't been doing what you know you should do, and you suddenly realize that you haven't been doing what you know you should do, shouldn't there be a time of repentance? Bill talked about that there. Shouldn't there be a time of repentance and saying, Father, you know, forgive me. For I have not been functioning in all that you have made available to me. I've been waiting for my wife to be responsible for what she knows before I'm going to be responsible for what I know. I'm going to wait for my husband to be responsible before I'm responsible for what I know. No, he says very clearly, listen, guys, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe that if you see an area in your life that you know you haven't been doing, that you know that you should be doing, I think you need to ask, Father, forgive me for not living up to the full potential that's available to me, utilizing the gifts that you've given to me, utilizing the promises that you've given to me, and utilizing the instructions that you've given me. Father, I apologize to you. And what do you do? Step back into that whole thing. Step back right back into that thing. And watch the quality of your life improve in your own minds with the way you see yourself. Watch the quality of your life improve when it comes to your marriage. Watch the quality of your life when it improves when it comes to raising up your children. Watch the quality of your life improve on your job. Why, I know to work as unto the Lord, but I ain't been doing it, man. I've been getting to work when I want to get to work. When I do get to work, I'm just kind of doing a, you know, just half a job that I need to be doing. I know better. I know, brother, I know better. That's sins of omission. And then we kind of wonder, well, how come I'm not the one getting the pay raises? How come I'm not getting the job promotions? How come I'm not getting the, could it be because we know, but we simply are not. Are y'all out there? I think that we as clean living Christians need to examine ourselves. How much of what I know am I applying to my life? Sobering. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, instruction in righteousness, correction, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished into all good. Every one of us has areas in our life where we're omitting obedience to his instructions. That's for sure. But when they come to mind, we need to kind of be like James, be not a forgetful hearer. Because you know as well as I do that you can be in a service like this, and all of a sudden the Lord start reminding you of stuff that you know that you're supposed to be doing that you ain't doing. And you know as well as I do that you can all of a sudden, we're getting ready to dismiss here in a second, and all of a sudden we're going to stand, and if you're not real careful, you'll be getting ready to go get the kids and get out of the parking lot before everybody else does so you can get to your favorite restaurant. And if you're not real careful, you'll forget about, by the time you get out of this on Kenosha, you'll forget about what the Lord showed you tonight that needs to be dealt with. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, blessed in his deeds, the individual who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, keep that thing before you. Keep that thing before you. Don't let it get away from you. I found this to be true. The Lord will never pile on. He'll never pile on a whole bunch of areas that you haven't been, that he wants you to. But he will give you one. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't pile on? Learned that lesson years ago with my kids. But the thing about it is, the Lord doesn't do that either. He'll bring up one area. So guess what we need to do? If the quality of my life, the quality of my life is going to improve in that area, then I need to shuck off the sins of omission. I need to go ahead and do what I know to do. Amen? Father, we just thank you for tonight. And Father, we just pray that each one of us examine our own hearts, our own lives. Even though other people in this room, Father, might need to hear what the preacher is saying tonight. Even though there might have been somebody in our minds that, Father, that should have been here to hear what the preacher had to say tonight. Father, that's not what this is all about. This is about us as individuals, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, Father, I thank you that you'll speak to each one of our hearts. That, Father, that you'll help us to see areas in our lives that need to be kind of improved upon, embraced. No longer wonder why a clean living person's life is not measuring up to the quality that we see that's available to us from your word. Father, realize we must be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Putting the word of God to practice. Fully functioning, fully blessed Christian. Embracing the life of obedience. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, every head is bowed and every eye closed. The greatest sin of omission that'll get you into the most problems is knowing that you are to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has been risen from the dead and to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior and not... Well, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You say, Brother Doug, you know, I know what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, that if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that... And I'll have to admit I haven't accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know I need to, and I've really been planning on it when I get a little better, when I clean up my life a little bit more, but you know as well as I do that just as I am without one plea, with the uplifted hand, you'd say, Brother Doug, would you please pray for me? I need to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior tonight. I need to do what I know to do. And I need to embrace him as my Lord. I need to come into a relationship with him. Can I see your hand? Anywhere across, looking to my left, your right? Anyone at all? Looking in the center area here? Anyone at all that would say, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to accept him as my Lord and Savior. My right, your left. Anyone at all that would say, Brother Doug, I need Christ in my life. I need him in my life so much. Looking across the auditorium one more time. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Anyone else that would join this young man in saying, you know, I need Christ in my life. I need to accept him as my personal Lord and Savior. anyone at all that would join this young man. Let's all stand, if you will. Is there a young man that that I can get to? Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. The individual that raised your hand, would you look at me, please, sir? I'm going to send him over there to you. He's going to take you back to a place of prayer. He's going to pray with you. Raise your hand just real. There you go. All eyes closed. No one looking around. If you will, just take him to that place of prayer. Your friends will wait for you. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you that in the name of Jesus, that life will be changed. Father, the quality of his life, Father, new creature in Christ Jesus, born of God. And Father, we're so grateful, so thankful. So Father, we pray for every one of us tonight. Thank you that you'll help us to be aware of this particular issue. That Father, that we'll be doers of the word and not just hearers only. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, God bless you.
As the altar care team comes forward and they take their right position, you know, one of the things that Brother Doug was talking to us about is we're all thinking about leaving now, but hopefully that's not the most important and pressing thing that's on your heart. You know, a lot of times what we do is we look at our altar care team and they're just up here to pray with something that would be major in someone's life. But you know what? There's steps right here. You know, I think Brother Doug had something really, really plain to talk to every single one of us. And I think every single one of us probably ought to deal with something before we leave if we already haven't done so. But you know what? If you just need to get before God, you don't need the altar care team to get right with God. If it's just talking to him and saying, God, I want to get that area of my life right, find a place at the altar. Take 5 minutes. Don't leave here the way you came. Allow yourself to deal with it, get it done, and move on with life so that you can experience the life that he was talking about. Living it at the level that God intended for you.
And I want you to notice that I said nothing about what sins get you to hell and what sins don't. That's not the issue. The issue is quality of life as believers. Getting the polluted issues out of our lives. Come on, guys. Putting into our lives the ingredients that steps up the quality of life that we're capable of enjoying. Amen? I just believe God's best for us in every area. That we be doers of the word and not just hearers only. It's to our benefit. It's to our blessing. The Bible talks about that you'll be blessed in your deeds and that it will be what? Well with thee. It's time that it start being a little bit more weller with us. Amen? Brother Bob.
Amen. So if you need to find a place to just pray for a few minutes, come on down. If you need to have somebody to pray and agree with you for something, that's what the prayer team is here for. And they will pray the prayer of faith with you. And don't forget all of the signups. Rockets over Rhema, different things like that. Please take the time to volunteer your time and be back with us on Sunday morning. Pastor will be back with us. Hey, turn around, shake a hand, hug a neck, find somebody and just thank them for being here and challenge them to live a better life in God. Amen.